One thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message Holy Spirit and Prayer.
Speak in tongues for a second. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I've spoken in tongues sometimes for hours. You know, you're just speaking in tongues. Sometimes you're not able to stop. You just keep speaking until your stomach, you know, is hurting you. Speaking in tongues. But when you are done, you will know that you have settled things in the realm of the spirit. You have done that in the realm of the spirit, things are perfected. Then you have a walkover on earth. You have a walkover. So it is something that you're going to do for yourself. There are certain things in ministry that other people can do for you, but there are some that nobody can do for you. There's some that no one can do for you. One of them is prayer. No one can do your praying for you. They may pray for you, okay? But they cannot do your praying for you. Do you understand that? Yeah. You can hire anybody to do something, but you cannot hire someone to pray. It's not going to work. You're going to have to pray yourself. And instead of saying so many things in your own understanding and saying so many things to try to convince God, speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. You know, sometimes the Christians, ministers looking for what they call a breakthrough for something. You don't need any breakthrough. Speak in tongues. When you speak in tongues, you will change things in the realm of the spirit. Romans chapter 8, let's read from verse 26. Hallelujah to Jesus. Okay, look at it. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. He didn't say we don't know at all. He says, as we ought to know. We don't know what to pray for as we should. There are some things we know to pray for, but we don't know enough. Sometimes we want to pray, we don't know what's behind the case. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, Old King James translation says itself, it's supposed to read himself. The Spirit himself maketh intercession for us, oh God, with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is a different type of prayer. This is not speaking in tongues. Groanings that cannot be uttered. In speaking in tongues, the Bible says we have utterance by the Holy Spirit. In this groanings, it says groanings. Do you know what it is to groan? There are sounds of that as though one is in pain, as though one is going through some excruciating pain. The kind of sounds you make When you are displeased and pained about something. He says it's the Holy Spirit. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. He makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So that means the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer. I told you, without the Holy Spirit, how can you be successful? This is a special kind of prayer where the Holy Spirit, in fact, where it says the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, it means bears us up in our weakness, in our limitation. He bears us up. Where we are unable to proceed, you get into this kind of prayer and the Holy Spirit supports you. You see, he has to do it through you. He will not do it on his own. So don't sit down and say, well, the Holy Spirit is praying for me. No, he wants to pray for you through you. He says, with groanings that cannot be uttered. Sometimes there are many Christians who find themselves in those groanings, but because they don't understand and they have never been taught, they wonder whether something is wrong. They say, Pastor, when I pray, I find myself crying and I don't know why. I say, continue. Don't stop. Don't stop until your crying turns to laughter. Don't stop. That prayer, when the Spirit seizes on you to pray like that, when you yield yourself to him, you go, They say, what is wrong? Nothing is wrong. It's prayer. Something is going on. Something is going on. All that's coming out of you just deep sighs. And sometimes you will feel exactly like what that person that you are praying for is going through. You find yourself going through that pain as if you were the one suffering. If you don't pray like this, things will be happening. Bad things will be happening to members of your church. And you have no solution. You find children dying. Young people dying. Older ones dying. Different kinds of things happening. Terrible things happening to members of the church. Why? Because that pastor doesn't know how to pray in the Spirit. And he hasn't taught the members how to pray in the Spirit. But if they learn how to pray in the Spirit, you find members telling you, Pastor, last night I was sleeping. I just woke up and I found myself praying, groaning. I don't know why I was praying, but I kept praying. Then the next thing you hear, a mighty testimony. Someone was going through some terrible thing and the Holy Spirit woke up a member and caused him to pray in the Spirit. There's a networking. There's a connection. That's why in some churches, there are always wonderful testimonies. Why in some churches you say, does anybody have a testimony? Everybody be looking around. Everyone's looking around like, you know, certainly he's not talking about me. So you'd wait 5 minutes, no one's hand is up to give a testimony. But in some churches, people are rushing to give testimony. Something has happened. They all have testimonies. Churches where they pray in the Spirit, they have testimonies. Churches where they don't pray like this in the Spirit, hardly do you find any testimony. Everybody's quiet. Pastor says, does anyone want to testify of the good things the Lord has done? Maybe someone will finally get up and say, well, I want to thank the Lord. He blessed me. Say, well, he blessed you. He say, well, I woke up this morning. Thank God. That's not a miracle that you woke up this morning. It's a miracle. Well, that's normal. Okay, so how do groaning in the Spirit, does it just happen? Do we just say, okay, you know, like somebody said, oh, we told the congregation to get up and let's all start groaning in the Spirit. Well, that's not going to work like that, because it says the Spirit help us. The Spirit. So it is initiated by the Spirit. But do we have any role to play? Emphatically, yes. And I will show that to you. So that you don't sit down there and say, well, you know, I thought that if the Holy Spirit is ready, he will make me groan in the Spirit. No, there are things you must do. Let me show you two scriptures. I'll start from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 64. Let's look at verse 7. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Did you see that? It was at a time in Israel, and people weren't doing what was right. And the great prophet here says, and there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Which means there was an expectation that people should stir up themselves to take hold of God. Stir up themselves to take hold of God. Which means you have a responsibility to stir yourself in the things of God. Hear this. After you have come to Christ, you have a responsibility to walk in the Spirit. He tells you, walk in the Spirit. Do things of the Spirit. Live according to the Spirit. It's God's calling upon your life to stir yourself to take hold of God. You know, it's about your mind. Let's look at it. Your mind is a tool that you can use for good or evil. Your mind. You stir yourself with your mind. You start with your mind. Whatever you want to think about, what you do is you turn your attention to it. You see it? You turn your attention to it. If you think upon God, like he says, oh, let Jerusalem come to your mind. No, it's your choice. You call to mind. You can make yourself so busy about other things you don't want to think. Like you might decide, all you just want to do now is play games. All I want to do, I just want to talk with someone. Oh, I just want to read a nice novel. I just want to read newspapers. I feel like discussing politics. All that is a work of the mind. Even while you're here, you can choose. I'm going to listen to everything Pastor Chris has to say. And you can say, well, I'm not sure whether I want to hear or not. It's a choice. Your mind is a tool. You are the way you are today, not because God made you so. You are the product of your mind.
This is the continuation of the message, Holy Spirit and Prayer.
You are the product of your mind. Remember, the Bible tells us, be ye transformed by what? Changing your way of thinking. But be ye transformed. He says, be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the way the world is, the way the world is taking you. He says, but be ye transformed. A metamorphosis. That's what he's talking about. He says, but be ye transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, if you're going to find yourself in the perfect will of God, there must be a change in your mind, your way of thinking. There are people who sit in a church. They are members of a church for 25 years. But all those years, they have never paid attention to the pastor. And so they have never grown. They still reason very carnally, but they have been there for many years. They have never given themselves an opportunity for change. The day they allow God, by changing their way of thinking, they'll be amazed how much glory they should have had. Hallelujah. You have to teach in the church. You don't need to have a teaching ministry first. The Bible says the servant of the Lord must be apt to teach. Teach in the house of God. Since you're a pastor, you're the head of a congregation, an overseer, teach them the word of God. Open the Bible and show them. Don't teach human advice. Teach the scriptures. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. You're still there? Yes. Okay. So, let's get this now. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm talking about you can stare yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stay up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You see, imagine this. He says, we laid hands on you. You received the gift. But now you must stir it up. It's not going to work just because we laid hands on you. Somebody said, hands were laid on me. And I believe a gift was ministered to me, but it never worked. It never worked? You're like Timothy then. You see it? It would have never worked for Timothy. So the man of God, Paul, told him what to do. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Which means that when he laid hands on Timothy, a gift was transmitted. But that gift would only work when you stir it up. Imagine that I lay hands on you and transmit and impact to you a gift of the Spirit. And then you travel from here. It may not work in the hotel. It may not work on the plane. It may not work when you arrive at the airport. You will have to stir it up. Glory to God. You say, how do I stir it up? That's another session. But I just want you to know, you got a responsibility. Okay, you can stir it up. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, now, the third one, which is just as important as any of these other ones. And really, if you notice, they're all related, these different kinds of prayer. And especially, you see, it depends on what you want. Do you want real results? Or you want results that look like results? Because there are results that look like results, but are not results at all. You know, some people are successful in a way that looks like success, but not success at all. But when we read what God said to Joshua, he talked about good success. You see, good success. So if you want good success, that means the real deal, real success. If you want it, then there's a way. There's a way. Glory to God. There's a way. Okay, now, I just told you. What you want is your children. Okay? For the kingdom of God. Not converts. Converts come and go. Children stay. That's a huge difference. That's how come we can have children of ministry all around the world. Wherever they go, they carry out the same thing everywhere. That's why, because they are children. They're not converts. We didn't raise them to be converts. We raised them as children. But children are born. You see it? Children are born. They're not employed. They're born. That's the difference. You are so quiet now. Like you can hear a pin drop. Glory to God. Yeah. Children. That's what you want. That's what you want. Real spiritual birth. And then you find more and more births. 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 Many years ago, I began to do a research on this. I said many years ago because this, when I got started, I was still very young. When I got started in ministry, I was still very young. And I was very curious to know the things that God really wanted. And that was the time I started making discoveries and also learning how to put the Word of God to work. You see, did you read about Jesus? How that after he received the Holy Spirit, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay? What was he doing there? The Bible says for 40 days and 40 nights, he was in the wilderness. What do you think he was doing there? You know what he was doing? Can I give you a suggestion? One of the writers gives it to us in very brief language. Mark chapter 1. Let's read from verse 12. St. Mark's Gospel chapter 1. Okay. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Talking about Jesus. Immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days. Tempted of Satan. And was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered unto him. Three things happened while he was in the wilderness. One, he was tempted of Satan. Two, he was with the wild beasts. That's very informative. And three, angels ministered unto him. What was he doing with the wild beasts? Putting the word to work. Putting the word to work. Sometimes you've got to be trained in something. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience. Learned obedience. He was subjected to certain situations. You say, learn? Yes, because he was a man. Don't forget. He was the Son of God. But he was a man. He was made a man. The Bible says he was hungry like everybody else. He was tired like everybody else. He slept like anyone else. The Bible says he put aside his glory. He was supernatural in humanity. Jesus was human. And that's the only way he could legally take our place. The just for the unjust. That he might bring us to God. He was called the man, Christ Jesus. So he died for us as a man. He defeated Satan as a man. Do you understand? So that's very important. So he was putting the word to work. Sometimes there are people, ministers, who have never tested the word of God on their own. But they want to test it on others. How's it going to work like that? You're not training yourself. You've got to train. Practice God's word on your life. Practice your faith. Put it to work. That's what you do. Put it to work. Practice it. And be excited about it. You know, before you're going to command blind eyes to open, what did you do when you had a headache? You get it? Practice. Now, that doesn't mean, I mean, you've heard some people say that when they get sick, they can't fix it. They say their faith doesn't work. But when they pray for others, miracles happen. Did you ever hear that? Yeah. A lot of people have that experience. But you see, what a lot of them have never done is to practice the word of God. Practice it. It's like when I teach about money, I tell people you can practice playing what I call the money game. It's a very simple thing. I say, start using little amounts. See how it works. Because it works. It's a principle. It's a principle. You can multiply your money. Very, very simple principle. It's a spiritual money game. God says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. Simple. So, I take the money. I give. It might be small, but I can watch this little amount of money multiply. You see it? Now, with that understanding, I can make someone who is poor grow financially until he's rich. You see it? It's a simple thing. Learn it.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
Wow, this message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy, Linus Veg 61, 19147 Hegvik, Sollentuna Common. Worship with us on Sundays by 11 a.m., Wednesdays by 6 p.m. For prayer and counseling, please call 073-733-0570 or email us at info@loveworldradionetworks.org. God bless you.